Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green with our Spotlight on the Southwest. Thanks for joining me tonight. And I always wonder, when you're listening, can you hear me smile? Because I have a big smile on my face. And there are two reasons for that. One is called James McGinnis, and he is the Transit Mobility Management Planner at Pima Association of Governments, and Shelley Ginn, City of Tucson Project Manager for the Modern Streetcar Sunlink. And I have to add that Shelley has been the project manager of this project since it started up to including today. We're going to talk about the green benefits of transit, and of which there are many, and how it impacts all of us if people are wise about the way they transport themselves. We will get an up-to-the-minute update about the streetcar project underway in Tucson, which has been massive and totally beneficial. And if we have time, which I doubt, we'll get some additional information about the Regional Transportation Authority-funded improvements all over, and how it benefits the environment and therefore benefits all of us. Welcome, both of you. And I just have to, I never totally follow the script, but Shelley, just before we went air, I said, like, you're the project manager for the Modern Streetcar, and you said yes. So I want to, I feel like I should give you some badge of honor, because what a project. I mean, massive, massive undertaking for a city of any size, quite disruptive. I am a total fan. I am a total, you know, early, not an early adopter, but boy, do we have things to share about that. So what we're going to talk about tonight is that we will talk, of course, about the modern day streetcar, but there are so many green benefits or sustainable, long-term sustainable benefits involving transit and transportation and the way we drive our cars and the way we get to work and the way we get home. And there are so many, so a myriad of things that we can talk about. So we will talk about those. I have my preparation, of course. Mrs. Green is always prepared. And let me just say that I always like to do the shout out, because my team reminds me that you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. And I want to mention the YouTube videos that are going up, all of which can be done by visiting my website, which is mrsgreensworld.com. And I would love it if you join me every Saturday at noon for my one-hour show. And on that show, I interview guests from all over the country, including people from Tucson and Phoenix. And it's not exclusive to national guests, because there are lots of national rock stars in Tucson, Arizona, in our own backyard. So I cover every aspect of sustainability that you can imagine. So James, I always like, I want to sing that song. And one woman did on my show. You know, let's start at the very beginning. So why don't we start with what your job is?
Sure. Well, I work for Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. And primarily what we do there is work on improving the regional transportation through, primarily for me, through transit. If you live in an outlying area of Tucson, if you live in one of the jurisdictions surrounding Tucson, you may see the Sun Shuttle buses. Those are primarily managed by us, by the RTA. And so what we do is we work on the routing of those buses and ensuring that they integrate well with the SunTrans system as a whole, and expanding transportation options to the entire region, not just the core to Tucson.
You know, the image that it conjured up for me is that of an orchestra conductor. I mean, seriously, there are so many moving parts, no pun intended, of coordinating that massive effort. You know, I've been here in Tucson 37 years, and I took the bus for years. And my livelihood depended on it. And I lived way, way, way out east before there was anything out there like Stella, where there was like a housing development, and you know, on the Far East Side. And so many people, we were so happy when we got our first car. So many people, their livelihood depends on that bus showing up and making sure it gets them to work on time. So it's really a vital part to me of the success of any city. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. You know, transportation options and transit in general are incredibly important to the residents of a city, especially as you get into the denser parts of the city. So, you know, really, I like to think of transportation or as a transit and benefiting society in two ways. One, giving people who may not have the ability to use traditional forms of transportation an option to get to work, to get to play, you know, recreation and whatnot. And then also, obviously, the environmental benefits. So transit really provides a twofold benefit to our city.
And this is another question that's not in my list of questions, but always comes up because that makes the time fly for me. Did you see, because you've been doing it for a while, but do you see an impact when gas prices go up? Do more people start riding it? Do you think it's related to people being more environmentally conscious? Because we certainly have lots more bike riders.
Oh, sure.
People sure. riding their bike to work. Even in the summer, and I always add that. I'm like, Ruth was on the show, Ruth Ryman. I said, you ride your bike like when it's 107? I try not to go out when it's 107, let alone get out on my bicycle.
Yeah, actually, I try to ride my bike to work. You know,
I thought you were a bike rider.
I do. I can't make it every day because I have a one-year-old now that I have to take the daycare.
That's right. So. That's right. That is not one we have figured out yet. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's
that's
that.
It's a bit tricky but if I was a little closer to town, I could probably throw him in a stroller and get him on a bike. But as far as the different kinds of transit options, we definitely encourage all different types. You know, I primarily work in the bus part of it, but we, you know, at the RTA, we're really focused on bike improvements and pedestrian improvements as well. So that's another part of the whole mix.
Which is a perfect segue, and we are going to bounce back and forth because they're kind of different topics, but so totally integrated in terms of the modern day streetcar. I'm wondering why they call it the modern day streetcar.
Well,
they do.
We started off with modern streetcar,
right?
Because we're trying to utilize a technology that's
subliminal messaging.
It's actually a new technology compared to like old public trolley, which is a historic type of vehicle. So this is a technology that's used in a couple of cities across the United States. Actually, over 40 cities are looking at it right now. It is a cheaper and also an alternative that can get you through tight city streets compared to like a light rail is what you see in Phoenix. So there's some different types of rail systems out there, and this type is designed to move people in high pedestrian, high bicycling areas on old tight streets, so you don't have to widen the streets to be able to use this, and you don't have to create its own right of way to be able to use this. It's actually
less invasive,
exactly,
for a city. So I have, you know, the questions are like blah 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 blah. I already have backup on the questions, but I just went to Phoenix last week and got to see a lot more of how the light rail works, and so it all fits in for me. But for people that listen from outside of Tucson that haven't been down here, that haven't experienced it, and we have millions of visitors. We just had several hundred thousand come for the 4th Avenue Street Fair. We have the Gem Show. So there are lots of people that listen to my show that keep a spotlight on Tucson. How long have you've been the manager from the beginning,
which I
feel like I'm meeting a celebrity and a hero. So what was how long was it supposed to take, and where are we?
Well, this started in 2004, and I guess it's pretty common when you're looking at rail systems, when you're starting a development of them.
Right, right.
Especially if you're going after federal funding, which is, we knew from the beginning we'd be doing that. So
right.
We started in 2004 looking at alternatives analysis. We quickly identified that the streetcar made the most sense for Tucson because of the economic development potential, and it's a new technology. It connects activity centers in the downtown area. It's going to provide, what it does is it extends the pedestrian experience, and also it provides places like the University of Arizona a chance to expand. They're landlocked right now, and now with the streetcar, they can provide better housing opportunities for the students, faculty, and staff along this alignment, as well as expand the college itself. They're going to be able to offer classrooms and colleges along the alignment and get out of that landlocked situation that they're in. So they're looking at this, as well as us in the downtown area and in the west, as economic development potential, as a win-win for everybody along this alignment.
And I was not a loud naysayer. I'm thinking all those businesses on Fourth Avenue and the restaurants and on and on and on. And then I did hear that presentation by Steve Peugeot at my Rotary. And I thought, Gina, what's wrong with you? I really and truly, what's wrong with you? It's a little bit of pain, honestly, for a lot of benefit. And I say that not just for the environment, which it is, but it was the epitome of build it and they will come, because they're already building it. There are cranes everywhere in our skies again. There's the noise of construction, the joy of construction, which is such a charger, economic driver for our community. So the visionaries, kudos to you, Shelley Ginn, for being a part of that and believing, because look what's happening. My husband and I frequent downtown to meet people for dinner because we're believers. And everybody gets excited. I mean, you have to really stand in line for a long time to get ice cream at the Hub. Mm-hmm. And almost whatever night you go, and restaurants are popping up and apartment buildings, and it's private money that the investors are looking and saying, maybe we will invest in Tucson. Agreed?
Exactly. So we have $196 million of public infrastructure investment, and right now over $800 million of economic development private investment, and we know that that's going to grow. So it's a great return. And it also brings revitalization to our downtown, which is something that I think I'm from Tucson. I would love to see our downtown become that vital hub that it
vibrant.
Was. My grandmother vibrant. Used to talk about when, Hakamies was down there.
And I'm old enough to be your grandmother. So yeah, I remember Hakamies and going down there and shopping on my lunch hour. I remember Woolworths.
Exactly.
And going to lunch at the counter. I mean, it was a vibrant downtown community, and we watched it slowly die. And in my lifetime, I am going to see it come back. Okay.
Exactly.
So James, what is your interaction with Shelley? Are you just friends, or are you working on things together? How does that get integrated into the bus transportation system and all that you're doing?
Sure. Well, the transportation network in Tucson is the vision for it is really a seamless network. And to that end, when the streetcar is opened, you're going to be able to use the smart card, which is going to be premiering in the
I was going to ask you about that. How are you going to pay for it? Okay.
So you'll be able to use the smart card on Sunlink, which is what the streetcar is going to be branded as. And you'll be able to use that transfer seamlessly from the bus to the Sunlink, back and forth to the shuttles. So you could take a ride, if you wanted, from Oro Valley all the way downtown, get on the streetcar and ride it to its end, get off, get on another bus and ride all the way down to Sarita if you so wished. We really envision the network to be as easy for the commuters as possible. And so that's really our long-term goal.
It's what people in big cities do. And ours is going to become an even bigger city because of this possibility. You know, one of the things that I would use it for when we get to go to U of A games, I love it. And if we could jump on a streetcar and on the Sunlink and go downtown to have dinner where everybody is not going after the games, they're all heading up Campbell, it would be a great opportunity. Park your car once, go down there, have dinner, and then be able to hop on it on the way back. I'm already thinking of ways eliminates the pain in the neck finding parking down there. Now that's being changed. That huge parking garage makes it easier. Mm-hmm. You can just go in, turn right if you come from Broadway and park your car, and it's really painless.
So we've got all this parking along this alignment where we're actually going to be able to efficiently use. Right now you've got downtown and you have a lot of people that are there during the day, and you've got a lot of open parking at night. You've got university that has people there for certain times of the day or night.
Right.
Now you're going to be able to utilize that parking existing parking structures and still bring all these extra people down there, this density that we'll be able to accommodate because you're connecting it all together.
So Shelley, in terms of, I'm sure that you have looked at a lot of other cities and models and what works and what doesn't. I am the consummate, this is going to be such a chick thing. When will the shopping come? Like, there's not really places to shop. I know that my friend Sonia opened a little retail spot in the front of her architecture firm. But is that usually the last thing that comes when
It usually is. Usually you get the people down there and that drives the retail and the restaurants.
And people living down there.
Exactly.
So I have friends that have sold their houses and moved downtown.
And that's what you're going to start seeing. You're going to start seeing a lot more of that. So we have to develop the density and then the retail is coming after it. So you're seeing a lot of the housing projects that are happening. That's pulling in a lot of the businesses. We do have a lot of new businesses. We do have shopping actually down there that's happening right now in both the downtown and the 4th Avenue area and the Main Gate area. So if you look at it now, you're going to see a lot of businesses, retail shopping that you're going to be able to take advantage of now, and it's going to increase as the system opens up.
And I tell people, I'm like a one-act play. I'm telling you, I do it at all of my leads groups, my Rotary group, shop locally, because the shops on 4th Avenue, you're crazy if you don't go down there for holiday shopping. They have unique gifts. They have locally owned business gifts. It's not like going to the mall, which I would rather, you know, as my husband says, poke a sharp stick in my eye, which we don't want to see that going on. But 4th Avenue is fun. Yes. And you get to go to Popsicle and Antigone, and you can get a really good snack at 4th Avenue Food Co-op. And there's Sea of Green. I can get lost in there. It's like the little shop of horrors. And I always come out with some plants at the Sea of Green. I mean, it's a really nice place to park your car and walk and just be outside.
Oh yeah, the beauty of the streetcar is it really, the alignment really goes through some of the most interesting areas of Tucson. I mean, Tucson is such a historical district, and the 4th Avenue going into the Broadway area, it's just a wonderful place, full of culture, full of history, and you get to see all of that along that alignment. So
all of those things. The Children's Museum rocks. Mm-hmm. We almost missed picking my daughter up on the plane because my grandchildren and my husband and I were playing in the Children's Museum as big kids. And the Arizona Theater Company. There's so much down there. So, okay, we digress. What would you say, each of you, and you haven't been involved as long because you're so young, and that's we're not going to bring that up because it's not TV. But Shelley, for your historical, you know, interaction with this, what were some of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome, and then how do you coordinate this massive thing with a department like James, with a person like he, you know, his roles to integrate that? Because it really is all about integration of multiple systems multiple bureaucracies.
It is. And add the Federal Transit Administration to that and then make it really fun. Funding. You come up with that vision, which I think this community was ready for.
Oh,
and
gosh.
We had Mayor Walkup, who was a huge supporter of this
project.
That's
great to know.
We have Congressman Grijalva, Congresswoman Giffords was a big supporter of this. Our new congressman is also supporting this. So you've got to have that political support and then the community support. And this area that we are starting, this streetcar system, is a strong transit supporter area. It was ripe for it. So that's the start. And then the funding, coming up with that funding. So knowing that we were going after federal funding, partnering with the Federal Transit Administration early on in this project, becoming a successful applicant for the Tiger One funding, $63 million of that, another $6 million of additional federal funding, and then becoming a partner with the Regional Transportation Authority. We got $87 million included for the streetcar project in that as well. So partnerships were really critical, pursuing that funding early on and utilizing it to go after additional funding. We were able to do that. So those were critical in this. And then from there, it was just hit the ground running. Once we got those large funding pieces in place, taking advantage of this economic downturn, some of the silver lining is low bidding environments right now. Taking advantage of that.
People want to work.
They are ready
yes.
to work. And yes. so we were able to take advantage of that and keep our project costs down really considerably low. So we're not, even though I call this a $196 million project, we're not going to spend $196 million.
Isn't that awesome? And then you throw out another number like $800 million in, look at the ROI. I bet everybody wishes they had been able to buy some shares in the Sunlink. That would have been a really, really good day. So then, you know, it's really been a pleasure. And I say this absolutely, it is not self-serving at all to have PAG as a sponsor. And the reason is because I have learned so much and so have my listeners. We have people, professors and writers and all that, listening from the U of A and around the city and the country that had no idea what the RTA even stood for. I mean, I'm smart, but I knew it was Regional Transportation Authority. What does that even mean? You know, the Port Authority in New York, I get it. But it is almost like that. We don't have a port, but it is coordinating the regional absolute, you know, big picture of, you know, one of the guests we had on was like interrupting walkways for wildlife. Mm-hmm. They're migratory patterns. And like, I just don't think of that when I'm thinking a new interstate's going up. Like, how are the javelina going to get across and not cause deaths because it's in their path? And how are the deer going to get over there? Because that's the whole thing that matters. So what about overall, I know there was so much debate, the business community, are they so on board now? I don't hear a negative peep just go out and look at the cranes.
The business community has been amazing. Now, it has been very challenging. This construction has been very challenging. This is a tough economic environment to operate in as it is, and then add construction to in front of your
city,
business.
Underground, it's, infrastructure,
it's
all
tough.
That stuff.
Yep. Our RTA Main Street program has done amazing contacting them, working with them as we've prepared for construction and going into construction. The businesses themselves have been unbelievable. We have really enjoyed working with them. They are very supportive. I know it's been difficult for them, and we've done everything we can to bring the community in there and support them.
That was another question I was going to ask. I seem to see a lot of emphasis on people's awareness being raised about, don't forget to go to 4th Avenue. Don't forget to go downtown during construction. You can get down there. The streets are not closed. So it really was a concerted effort, mm-hmm. I think, to raise people's awareness. Take your bike. No problem, right, James?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to ride your bike down there, it's easier to get around that way. I want to touch briefly. Sheila always sends us really good information to prepare. I mean, she's just wonderful to work with. And I think that even though it may sound as obvious as, you know, the nose on my face, as they say, the reason why public transportation is so important, and she sent me these great handouts, and it's a constant affirmation for me. Public transportation helps protect our environment. It enhances our quality of life, whether we're using it or not. Every person that isn't driving their car is making my life better. That's how I feel. There's cutting down on emissions. And then it really is important, and it doesn't just say reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Reducing our dependency on oil, which is a dirty burning business, it's what we have right now, is really important. So do you have anything you want to add to that? Did you circle anything, James, highlighting that?
I'm a big fan of fast facts, so I brought a couple of that. I
love fast facts.
Yeah, I thought this would be kind of interesting. So U.S. greenhouse gas emissions from transportation in general represent about 30% of total U.S. emissions.
I mean, huge.
Yeah. So it's pretty easy to say, well, let's target the transportation system and try to find some efficiencies there to lower our greenhouse gases. And one of those really is just to get out of your car and use alternative means of transportation. The bus is the most available. Bicycle infrastructure is becoming much more important. Tucson is a gold-rated bicycle city. When I came here, I was just staggered. I came from a city that had pretty much zero bicycle infrastructure. And I really like to give a lot of support to the hard work that people have done as part of the PAG,
truly,
the PAG team, to really raise the level of quality for bikes in this city. So that's just my bike plug. So.
But it's a great bike plug. And I'll tell you what, Ruth Ryman is probably dancing up and down, clicking her heels as she's listening to this. And she better be listening to this. But she agrees. I mean, it really matters.
Yeah.
Lots of people are turning to riding their bikes.
They sure are. And, you know, really, if you look at public transportation, we have the potential right now. It's saving the equivalent of around 4 billion gallons of gasoline annually. And that's representing roughly 10 billion trips on public transportation nationwide. And there's been a real trend in recent years towards alternative energy in transit vehicles specifically. Transit vehicles are actually moving towards alternative fuels faster than traditional vehicles.
Right, right.
So you've got a large, it's gone from 9% in 2000 up to 29% of transit vehicles using alternative fuels.
That's huge.
As of 2009.
And yeah. Clean Cities gets a gold star for that.
They sure
do. They have been doing a lot of really good stuff to convert fleets to alternative means of transportation. I mean, Colleen has been working with all of those people that she talks about when she's on the show to convert lots of fleets, school buses. Mm-hmm. They use a lot of fuel.
They do, yeah.
And delivery trucks.
Yeah, biodiesel, CNG, natural gas. The Suntran fleet has actually had natural gas vehicles in its fleet for a long time. And, that's really been a big boost to our air quality here. But buses are already much more efficient. If you have as few as 9 passengers on a bus, it's already more fuel efficient than a traditional passenger car with a single occupant. So, it's really not difficult to see the benefits quickly of people shifting to buses.
And it's measurable.
It's very measurable.
You can measure it instantly. That's one of the things I love. I mean, you really can. It's like how many people are on the bus, and you have your formulas for cutting down on the gas emissions, the CO2, and I think it's measurable. One of the things that I think is interesting, when I was thinking about it in the past couple of weeks, knowing the show was coming up, my daughter lives in LA, and I did not know that they put a light rail, I think that's what it is, from close to where she lives. She drives to a place, and it takes her to the USC games, to the stadium downtown. And she said, Mom, why would you not do that instead of getting on the 405 or whatever, the 101, and being stuck in traffic and then having to find parking? And she said, it's packed. It's not, they haven't had to push it. I didn't even know they were building something like that. Tucson and LA, big difference yeah. in the effort that's going to take.
I think LA is doing a streetcar as well.
A streetcar. Maybe it is a streetcar.
No, they've got light rail also, so they're moving along.
Can you imagine? And I don't know. From what my research tells me, they used to have a very, very good, solid infrastructure for public transportation. And then
many cities did.
It's so incredible. So we're going full circle. Mm-hmm. I have to ask one of you this, and it's not in the script, and maybe you don't know the answer, and I never try to stump anybody. Is the reason why they went from 2 lanes to 1 in that strip on Campbell, was that for bikes? So that, because that's a heavily traveled from Skyline and, that Sunrise where it changes down to River, they built it. So it used to be 2 lanes, and then it would merge down into 1. But now they've made it 1 lane the whole way. So I just wondered if that was there's a big bike path.
You're talking about the nice little scenic part of Campbell that
yes.
goes up through there.
Yes, that nice little scenic part.
I seem to remember it being 2 lanes at the beginning.
And it was at the beginning, and then it would go down into 1, which didn't work either.
Well, I drive that quite frequently because I that's part of the way I take my son to daycare. And they did add some shoulder to
they
the road.
Did, big they did, shoulder.
They did grade that and add bike infrastructure there. So I've ridden that on my bike. I think it's really nice. I have to just say, if you haven't ridden up there on Campbell, and if you're a big bike rider, it used to be a really scary road to ride on because it's so twisty and the pavement quality was very low. But now you've got a nice large bike lane there, and it just helps connect that Skyline Campbell
corridor, which are
huge, bike
intersections bike because there. They're coming from that. And the thing is, as a driver in the car, the cyclists terrify me. On Pontotoc, which is a street that I travel frequently, there should never be a bike on there. The bike path is about 2 inches wide. And I don't want to bump them. Mm-hmm. it's just like, oh my gosh, how can you drive on this? So now they'll be able to go Campbell. It's so much smarter.
Exactly.
So much smarter and safer. Okay, so did we answer the question? I'm obviously loving it. We have 4 minutes left. Tell me about not even 4 minutes. I'm getting the shake of the head. I think we should actually, if people have questions, do you guys want to share your emails? Do you want to say what's the best way they can find out? Give websites. I know you don't want to get inundated with web.
Well, certainly with the streetcar, TucsonStreetcar.com, we highly encourage everybody to check out that website.
TucsonStreetcar.com.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So it has a phone line on there. It has messaging that if you've got questions, you can sign yourself up for our email updates, which we give out weekly or even daily sometimes. I wish we did texts. We don't do the text updates.
The little
yet.
Messaging.
I'd love
I know.
To see that.
But I
we
want
do have
us
Facebook.
To do that too. Yeah.
We do YouTube's tweet. We've got the other
modern
social media going
it's
on.
It's so modern, shall we?
And there's a great video of the streetcar on there, which I really
there is.
I
that's
like
right.
That.
We
that,
actually
so
have
you can
a
see the streetcar before it even
people love video. Oh. I mean, they really love it. And James, what about you? If they have questions about the, I mean, I have to read your title. We have 1 minute. I'm so sad. The Transit Mobility Management Planner.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, you can go to rtamobility.org.
Okay. I'm writing it down because they can always contact me. RTA Mobility.
Or pagregion.org.
Okay. And they're really good websites. I mean, I find a lot to prepare for the show on the PAG website.
Oh, sure.
I don't know who does that, but it's great. Okay, everybody, I am so sorry to say this. I have to say goodbye. Thanks to everyone for being here tonight. I invite you to connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and all those things at MrsGreensWorld.com so that you can hear about great programs, great people, great things going on in our city and the spotlight on the Southwest. Be safe out there. Busy weeks to come. Thank you, Shelley and James, for being a part of the show. And you guys stay safe. Thanks for all you're doing to make a difference for us.
Thanks.
Thank you.